ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 केडी फंक्शन भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 4 वर्स नंबर 14
जय
इट्स अगेन अ मैसिव वर्स व्हिच इज अगेन प्रोज फॉर्म. So I'll just read the verse, no need to put it to people, just the word to word after that. Bhagavan Rishabha Samagya Atmatantra Swayam Nitya Nivrittanatha Paramapara Kevalanandan Bhava Ishwara Eva Viparitavat Karmani Arambana Kalenan Vidam Dharmam Acharinan Pashikakshyan अतद विदान समो पशंतो मैत्र करुणिक धर्मार्थ यश प्रजानां दामृत वरोधने गृहेषु लोकं नियमयात. What translation? भगवान
भगवान
सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड
सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड
ऋषभ
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 समग्यः
नेम आत्मतंत्रः फुली इंडिपेंडेंट
स्वयं
पर्सनली नित्य एटर्नली निवृत्त फ्री फ्रॉम अनर्थ ऑफ थिंग्स नॉट वांटेड बर्थ ओल्ड एज डिजीज एंड डेथ परंपरा द कंटिन्यूअस सक्सेशन one after another. Kevala only. Ananda Anubhava full of transcendental bliss. Ishwaraha Supreme Lord. The controller. Eva indeed. Viparitavat just like the opposite. Karmani material activities. Arambana performing. Kalena in the course of time. Anugatam neglected. Dharma the Varnashram
Dharma.
Acharelena by executing. Upasikshayam
teaching.
Atat vidam persons who are in ignorance. Samaha equiposed. Upashantaha undisturbed by material senses. Maitraha very friendly to everyone. Karunikaha
very
merciful
to all.
Dharma religious principles. Artha economic development. Yashaha reputation. Praja sons and daughters. Ananda material pleasure. Amrita, eternal life. Avarodhena, for achieving. Griheshu, in household life. Lokam, the people in general. Niyamayat, he regulated. Translation and for Upashila. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the four principles of material misery, birth, death, old age and disease. Nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy and he was the well-wisher of all living entities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashram Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties. How to perform duties within the Varnashram Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being, and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. The Varnashram Dharma is meant for imperfect conditioned souls. It trains them to become spiritually advanced in order to return home back to Godhead. A civilization that does not know the highest aim of life is no better than an animal society. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nati Vidhu Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu, a human society is meant for elevation to spiritual knowledge, so that all the people can be freed from the clutches of birth, death, old age and disease. The Varnashram Dharma enables human society to become perfectly fit for getting out of the clutches of Maya. And by following the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma, one can become successful. In this regard, see Bhagavad Gita 3.21 to 3.24. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपत्वदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामे हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुवदाय कृष्ण पुष्टाय भूतले ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ನಾವು ಅಗೇನ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವೆರಿ ನೈಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಇಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ personality of Lord Rishabhdev. Many amazing qualities are given, which are not just belonging to Rishabhdev, but any appearance of the Supreme Lord displays those qualities, because these are the eternal qualities of the eternal Lord. And these qualities, in any incarnation when he appears, he shows this particular aspect of him, where he is equal to everyone. He is equipoised, but he shows special favor to his devotees. And simultaneously, while he is displaying his equipoised nature, he brings in, whether it's philosophical understanding through Lord Kapila introduced Sankhya Yoga, or Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, or Krishna comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita, or Lord Ram, who displays by his own personal example, or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who comes and shows his leela as a devotee and teaches Sankirtan. The principle is very simple, that he is the well-wisher of all the living beings. We'll discuss about this later, how in different examples, how he shows these different qualities. But when we see the purport Srila Prabhupada has given to this verse, one very clear understanding we get when the verse is talking about Varnashram Dharma and how this gradual elevation of the soul that happens in Varnashram culture. Srila Prabhupada is very clear in his purport that Varnashram Dharma, or this understanding, is not the absolute teaching of the scriptures. And that's where the first line he opens his purport is, the Varnashram Dharma is meant for imperfect conditioned souls. And that's not the meaning of Varnashram Dharma, but it's just telling that it's just the beginning of a cultured life, and then gradually progressing to pure devotional service. And that's what we see in Prabhupada's books, many places, even though he has glorified the culture of Varnashram, this particular Varnashram lifestyle, he has very emphatically mentioned without missing the point that the ultimate goal is to develop pure devotional service towards the Supreme Lord, which is the real necessity to attain happiness for the soul. But understanding that Srila Prabhupada is not a fanatic in that sense, where he is just hitting on the point of pure devotional service all the time, where the audience is still on a very lower platform, where they have to rise to practically human platform or even to the civilized platform. Srila Prabhupada does introduce many aspects of Varnashram philosophy, because our natural tendency, the natural tendency which a conditioned soul displays is to act based on the body and people attached to the body, which is very natural way of us, of a conditioned soul, the way he acts. And that's one of the reasons that Supreme Lord does use Varnashram. Which is one of the reasons Supreme Lord does introduce this gradual elevation, which is through the Varnashram institution, where one can still act in one's prescribed nature, one can still act in one's occupation, and still gradually come to the platform where one attains the highest perfection, that is attaining the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Once what happened, this is a real story from US. You know, there are many residential buildings, and this particular building was an old building where the landlord was getting many complaints from people staying there. even whether they owned the houses or they were tenants there, that the lift within the building was very slow because of a very old building. So the complaints were so constant and so many complaints that this landlord, this owner of the building, had to take some action. But being a miser, he didn't want to spend so much money to put a new lift in the whole building. So he consulted his very intelligent friend what to do. This is the old building, it's an old lift, people are really getting furious, lift goes very slow. What to do? So the friend suggested, friend was very intelligent, friend suggested, why don't you put mirrors throughout the lift? And he said, that's cheaper option, I can try that. And he just added life-size mirrors on three sides of the lift, and never he got any complaint. Because the friend understood, he was not a sadhu or a spiritualist, but he himself was engrossed in bodily conception. He understood people are very much attached to their body, and they spend time while they're in the lift looking at their bodies. So no more complaints came, because time passed easily because they're just looking at themselves. So that's where understanding this tendency, great acharyas, even the Supreme Lord, who are very well, who really know this deep-rooted disease, they, in many occasions, they have given a gradual process. That's what this verse is talking about. But Srila Prabhupada, his genius while introducing Vedic scripture was that we are in a society, which is a reality also, we are in a society where we all know we cannot replace Varnashram Dharma at this stage. And in future also, I think it will be even harder to bring back Varnashram culture within the society. But Srila Prabhupada did introduce quite a bit of it in terms of devotees living in the temple, in terms of grihasthas. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, he made many brahmacharis when he started his movement in New York. But when he moved to San Francisco, most of his disciples were grihasthas. He got all the couples, girlfriend, boyfriend, got married. And if you read Lilamrita, very clearly Srila Prabhupada is saying that don't move around and don't have physical relationship just as girlfriend and boyfriend. Get married. And what Srila Prabhupada did was never happened before in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, especially by a sannyasi, that he conducted marriages. So that's a very clear example of him bringing in Varnashram philosophy. He could have just told them, just chant Hare Krishna and just be like girlfriend and boyfriend. Just act loosely, mix loosely. But Srila Prabhupada wanted culture to be within the society. And that's why these aspects he introduced. But understanding the limitation of it, he didn't go mental about it. He just didn't hang on to just sticking to the culture of Varnashram. He applied where he could, but then he moved on where he could not. But his basic point is very simple, that our ultimate goal is being servant of Krishna, to develop love for Krishna, and which can be only done through hearing and chanting. And that's why Srila Prabhupada never compromised on those aspects of hearing and chanting. Something very interesting is there in this verse, which is, we have heard the Purushartha, which is Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Religion, economic development, sense enjoyment and then liberation. But this particular verse introduces two more aspects to it. It says Dharma, Artha, Yasha, Praja, Ananda and then Amrita. This is towards the end of this huge shloka. That's where it says Dharma, we understand religious principles. Artha, economic development. Yasha. Yasha, Praja and Ananda. Yasha means reputation. Praja means having your sons and daughters, which is kama in that sense. And Ananda, which is material pleasure, are all combined together in Dharma, Artha, Kama category. Where one enjoys reputation in society. One enjoys reputation in society. One enjoys one's senses by producing children. And the result of that one gets is ananda, that is material pleasure. And then at the end is amrita, which is same as moksha, which is eternal life, liberation. But very interesting thing which always comes to my mind whenever I hear this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that in one of the retreats, is always Devananda Swami was mentioning that the society now does focus on artha and kama, but because they are not earning this artha, this material opulence, this economic development is not happening based on dharma, which is religious principles. So their kama or their artha, their economic development and their sense enjoyment will never lead to moksha or amrita in this verse. Why? Because the premises or practically the basis was never dharma. So if economic development and even sense enjoyment is done keeping dharma in mind, which is following the instructions given in scriptures for sense enjoyment and economic development, which it of course allows with some restrictions, then there is a possibility that one gradually develops some detachment from this material world. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Otherwise it's going to bind even more and more. And that's where this particular introduction of Varnashram system, which is a gradual system, which Srila Prabhupada in the purport, first line he begins, it's meant for imperfect conditioned souls, which is most of us, is very necessary. It's very, very important that that even in household life, in Grastha Ashram, if Artha and Kama is employed, or is basically achieved through Dharma, then there is a possibility of moksha. Otherwise, it's not possible. And for us, for devotee grihasthas, the plus point is that devotional services is very powerfully added to our dharmic activities, our religious activities, which are very much purifying. And in the 13th chapter where Krishna is explaining the process of knowledge, and from verse 8 to 12, those 5 verses, he gives a massive list, I think 19 or 20 items Krishna mentions, of what is knowledge, where Krishna says anything other than this list is not jnana, that is ignorance. And this particular list which I am giving now is actually knowledge, is jnana. Anything out of this is tama, is ignorance. And Krishna gives that whole list beginning from humility. And while he is giving all the different aspects of jnana, he goes to the highest platform of jnana, which is ananya bhakti, pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord via taking shelter of bona fide spiritual master. So this is all within the list, but this is where the culmination is, that to attain bhakti ananya chetasa, that attaining unalloyed pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord in guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Where Krishna gives that list in that purport, when Srila Prabhupada is explaining this point, Srila Prabhupada, amazing point he makes, where he explains in household life, in Grihastha Ashram, how one can utilize one's position and attain the same perfection. I'll just read that particular part of the purport. It's very nice purport actually. Because in the list of the items, one of the items is to be detached from children, wife and home. That's one of the items of jnana, that a person should be detached from children, wife and home. So Srila Prabhupada says, as for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for them. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is fully Krishna conscious, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's the first process he mentions. He mentions four points. This is the first point, to chant Hare Krishna. Second, he says, accept the remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna. Second point. Third, he says, have some discussions on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Third point. And the fourth one, he says, engage oneself in deity worship. So he says, these four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada continues, he says, if one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. Very clear. It's very, very clear. So, this is the highest understanding of Bhagavad philosophy, where one can use Varnashram principles to gradually advance. But what Srila Prabhupada gave in that particular purport is just hitting the nail on the head, that you will achieve result. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions one shloka, when he is explaining that the ultimate goal is to develop relationship with Vishnu, engage in his service. He says, from Bhagavatam Shura, Lord Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, he quotes that verse. He says, Nata vidu swarthagate hi Vishnu, durashaye bhadiyaratthamanina, anda yathande upanimanas, tepi sutantram urudamni baddha. Srila Prabhupada quotes that verse and he is explaining how the actual swartha gati is Vishnu. And of course, the particular aspect of this verse which Prahlad Maharaj is quoting is not to follow a blind person who is spiritually blind, who may appear to be a great scholar, but who is spiritually blind, acting as a guru. But what particular aspect of that verse Srila Prabhupada is using is swartha gati. The actual swartha of the living entity is to develop service to Vishnu. Well, in material sense, if you use the word swartha, or which also means being selfish, it has a very negative connotation. Swartha, both swarthi, you're very selfish. But swartha is combination of two words, which is swa and artha, which is self and something for the self. But if just in the same word the definition of self is changed, the negative connotation becomes very positive. Because if the self is changed from the body and mind to the soul, then the same swartha becomes cause of liberation. And spiritually we are all advised to be swarthi. We are all advised to be self. Selfish is still again the wrong translation in spiritual sense. But I would say the better word for swarthi in the spiritual context will be to understand the importance of the self and engaging the self in service of the Supreme Self. Whereas if you actually see materially, this same selfishness leads to sinful activities, the same selfishness leads to lust, greed, all crime. And if someone says, then what is the difference between this selfishness, this swartha and the spiritual swartha? That even though, if actually one wants to advance spiritually and wants to be swarthi, and he actually understands the soul is going to progress when one engages in service of the Lord, and the best way to please the Lord is to of course engage in his chanting his names and hearing about him, but not just that, but to help others, then that same swartha will help us to act selflessly. Even though we are acting for our own swartha, one will act for others. Why? Because that's going to please the Lord. And that's where that self is going to get the benefit when one serves other person. So that's spiritual swartha. Then further in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Krishna, where Krishna himself is giving the importance of sticking to prescribed duties. And he says, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 3.21-24, where Krishna is saying, he begins with the Yajyad Atharati Shrestha, a very famous verse, where Krishna is saying that whatever actions common men perform and whatever standards they set, general mass is going to follow. But then Krishna says that even though all the standards we have to set for common men to follow, there is no prescribed duties for me to follow, because there is nothing for me to attain anything in this material world. But then Krishna says, yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. And then he says that if even I fail to perform prescribed duties, then whole mankind will follow my path and will end in ruination. And then Krishna says, I don't want to be cause of unwanted population because of that ruination, and therefore don't want to destroy the peace of living entities, so I also follow the prescribed duties. But now we see, actually, Krishna is saying this in Bhagavad Gita, that I follow prescribed duties and I follow good standards which people follow. But we see Krishna's activities, that he has broken prescribed duties many, many times from material point of view. And that very clearly explains or shows that even though Krishna is setting a high standard for common people to follow, he is not encouraging people to follow his actions, but he is encouraging people to follow his words. Like in Hindi they say, Krishna ko nahi maana, Krishna ki maane. We don't have to follow what Krishna did, we have to follow what Krishna said. Why? Because he is Supreme Lord. And simultaneously he sets very high standard, and simultaneously from material point of view, from moral grounds, he breaks those standards to establish how he is Supreme Personality or beyond these rules. That can be confusing for materialists. But if one is fortunate to hear from Srila Prabhupada and great acharyas, then this confusion can be gone, that how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet in his personal life he sets those high standards. Krishna did marry 16,108 queens, but he was individually present with all of them following all prescribed duties as a Kshatriya, even on the battlefield when he was doing his prescribed duties. That's one of the purports Srila Prabhupada mentioned. That Krishna was a Kshatriya, he acted like a Kshatriya on the battlefield, but still, because he was Supreme Personality of God and acting as a Kshatriya, he broke those codes also many times. Where he controlled the nature when it was time to kill Karna, Jayadrath. And he made Yudhishthir lie, and he himself picked up the weapons. So it's like, you know, you can't hide fire under a blanket, it has to come out. So Krishna's supreme godhoodness has to come out. You know, how much can he control it, because it's there, it's such a reality. And that's where Srimad Bhagavatam confirms, where Bhagavatam says, Dharma swan sutha pumsa vishvakshena kathasuya no pada yadirati shrama evahi kevalam that the occupational activities a man may perform is only and only a useless labor if it's not provoking attraction for the message of personality of Godhead. So prescribed duties, just prescribed duties in themselves is just useless labor if it's not encouraging us to develop attraction to hear and chant about Krishna. And that's where when this whole explanation, this translation is mentioned, the translation or the verse itself first explains the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, and then it explains how he is establishing this varnashram system for the gradual elevation of the living entities. Where in the translation it says how he is always equipoised. You know, one very nice example comes to my mind, where from Ramayana, when Lord Ram was in a very piteous condition, he was crying when Mother Sita was kidnapped. And when Mother Sita was kidnapped, Lord Ram was acting a little odd, or very odd, in a sense that he was going and asking mountains. He was asking trees and deer, where is Sita, where is Sita? And Lakshman is trying to stop him, console him, but Lord Ram was going practically in very blunt way, he was acting mad, the way he was behaving, and crying and loudly howling and shouting, my Sita is gone, my Sita is gone. So while they were searching, Ram and Lakshman, and Lakshman is trying to control, he should not injure himself, he is falling and going everywhere and searching and asking for Sita, they saw injured Jatayu, the bird who was trying to protect Mother Sita. When he saw that Ravana was kidnapping and taking him, Jatayu went and fought Ravana to protect Mother Sita, and Ravana was more powerful, he injured Jatayu. And Jatayu was practically on the verge of death, and he was just waiting to pass this message that where Sita has gone. Lord Ram and Lakshman comes there, and when Lord Ram sees, he was crying and crying for Sita. If materially that would have happened to a person, and if a person is really crying for one's wife, he would lose it. There is no way one can act sane if someone is crying on that level, someone is attached and someone is really disturbed on that level. But when Lord Ram saw Jatayu, they went and Lord Ram picked up and lifted him and put him on his lap, and he was asking what happened to Jatayu. And Jatayu explained, this is what has happened. And Lord Ram actually stopped talking about Sita at all for so many hours when he was with Jatayu. And Lord Ram actually told Jatayu that you are as important to me as Sita. It's not that he lost it and he was crying for Sita, he just lost it and there is no other person has any value for him. And when he was with Jatayu, he was having tears in his eyes seeing Jatayu's condition, and he literally told Jatayu, you are as important to me as Mother Sita. Then when Jatayu passed away, he did all the final rites for him. That took quite a bit of time, and never he was crying and asking deer and stones and everyone or trees for Sita that time. He was focused in his affection for Jatayu the whole time. And then when Jatayu gave him the signal, Sita has gone in this direction, he found some clue, they continued their journey, very equipoised. But for his Naralila, for his human-like pastime, Lord does such activities which can bewilder. And this particular pastime did bewilder even Mother Parvati. When Lord Ram was acting in such a odd way, or a mad way, crying for his wife, and Mother Parvati herself got bewildered, and she came and tested Ram in form of Sita, and Lord Ram recognized, and she understood that I am playing with the wrong person. He is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Shiva was right, he is my Supreme Lord, I cannot test him. Very nice pastime actually. And when Mother Parvati saw, after apologizing or after paying obeisances to Lord Ram, and she saw that even though Lord Ram was crying just few minutes before for Sita, actually Sita Ram and Lakshman are together, he is not separate. So she understood this is the pastime of the Supreme Lord, which has bewildered even Mother Parvati. So Lord, the Supreme Lord does act in different ways. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a very nice verse which explains how, what is the well-wishing heart of the Supreme Lord. It's from Madhya Lila 20:122. It says, Maya Mukta Jeevana Nani Svata Krishna Jnana जीवेर कृपा कहला कृष्ण वेद पुराण द कंडीशन सोल कैन नॉट रिवाइव हिज कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस बाय हिज ओन एफर्ट दैट्स द लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव हिज हैज कम टू गिव ग्रेजुअल प्रोसेस कृष्ण कम्स हिमसेल्फ टू गिव प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस एंड चैतन्य महाप्रभु कम्स टू एक्सप्लेन हाउ टू परफॉर्म प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस आफ्टर चैतन्य महाप्रभु हिज सेनापति भक्त श्रील प्रभुपाद आल्सो कम्स एंड एक्सप्लेन्स हाउ टू इन मॉडर्न डे परफॉर्म प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस बट Maya mukta jivera, which is conditioned souls like us who are stuck, completely bound by the ropes of material energy, we cannot revive our Krishna consciousness by our own effort. Jivera kripa kahila Krishna Veda Purana. But out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literatures and it supplements the Puranas and gave it to us. So that's the well-wishing heart of the Supreme Lord. In any form, any incarnation, when he appears, the Supreme Lord does give his transcendental literatures. And I was thinking also the other day, I was speaking to someone, they had some guru and they were explaining what meditation that particular person is teaching, and the meditation that particular guru is teaching is for hours you meditate, don't worry about any mantra, very bluntly says, don't worry about any mantra and all. You don't have to focus on any mantra or any detail or whatever. Your meditation is that you focus inwards and try and observe the inflow, the flow of your own thoughts. Basically, just try and observe the garbage within, and that's meditation. And people are clapping and, oh, what an amazing concept of meditation you're talking. And he says, just observe the flow. Do not be very rigid, no need to sit in a proper way. Just relax, sit on a chair, have a cup of tea or coffee with you and meditate on the thoughts you have within. What thoughts will come? So only the garbage is going to come, because garbage in, garbage out. Whatever garbage has gone in through media, through social media networks, through television, through movies or whatever, sports. These are the thoughts the mind is going to produce. And your meditation is to just observe them. And just observe them. And nobody in the audience questioned what result they will get. Nobody even bothered to know what are we achieving by observing our own contaminated thoughts. And this person on YouTube has 14 million subscribers. And how many views are there is unbelievable. You know? So it's amazing. This is Krishna's mercy. His scriptures are his mercy. Srila Prabhupada, who is the carrier of that mercy, has given the scriptures to us. It's unbelievable how if we see our own condition, I'm talking about myself. I don't know what would be the life without such knowledge at this stage, in this particular time and place. Maybe following one of such clues only and meditating on the inward contaminated thoughts. And that would be a meditation. So our job is to just take advantage of it. That's our part. But very thankful, very grateful that Krishna and his representatives have given this transcendental knowledge, which is the expression of their well-wishing heart, which is the compassion, or the outpour of their compassion, basically. The scriptures are the outpour of their compassion for us. So these were some of the points I just wanted to discuss from this purport. Tomorrow's verse is also having similar theme of setting good example. Speak up for tomorrow. May elaborate. And Hare Krishna. Grantha Shri Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.